Thanks as always for listening to Fluff and Crunch. In today's episode, I had the opportunity to sit down and talk with John Houlihan, the creative lead of Modiphius' Octoon Cthulhu line of games, to talk about the new starter set that's coming out. He was kind enough to do a full walkthrough visually with all the content so you can actually see exactly what's in the box, how big, what it all looks like. And if you're listening to this, there's a link to the YouTube version of this, so you can go take a look at those. And we also talked about the upcoming D-Day campaign book. Thanks again for listening. Make sure to like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using. And if near the end of the recording you hear some bonking and drilling, that's because I was having the solar panels reinstalled on my roof today. So I apologize if the sound quality overall is not up to our regular standard. Thanks as always for listening. Anyway, John Houlihan, thank you so much for taking the time to join me on the show to talk about Octoon Cthulhu, and talk about the starter box, and talk about all things Octoon Cthulhu as we are right now in March of 2024. My co-host Chris was not able to make it today because of scheduling, but I really appreciate you being willing to give up some of your time. It's a Friday late afternoon there, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, about 3 o'clock here at in the UK at the moment, but always a pleasure to have a chat with you guys, and particularly since we've got something interesting and fun to discuss.
Yeah. Thank you so much. So what we're going to talk about today is the Octoon Cthulhu starter set, which you were so kind as to provide a PDF copy of the contents of the box to me. So I've gone through them. I want to talk through that and talk about when it's going to be released and that kind of stuff. And I know that the world has just gotten notice of it just recently. But tell me about the timing. The game has been out for several years now. There's been, a not too fast but steady release schedule of some very beefy, you know, books. So talk to me about why now, why a starter set, and how this fits into like your vision for the game moving forward.
Sure. So, you know, I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, we celebrated actually the 2-year anniversary, I think, of the launch of Octoon Cthulhu 2D20 in September 23. So we're a little way on from that now. I guess, you know, the main motivation for a starter set is really always to expand the audience. You know, we've got a great audience of very loyal fans, some real grognards as well. But, you know, you want to bring the game to a wider audience, I think, and sort of hopefully lure a few people into our world of thrilling pulp adventure. And that, you know, the starter set is the sort of perfect way of doing that, I think. It's sort of my aim is to give you a real taste for the Octoon Cthulhu setting, the sort of flavour and feel of the game, you know, try and do that with a... You know, I was thinking about this a little bit earlier, and starter sets or any product, really, book, you know, personal book, campaign book or anything like that, they're always a bit of a marriage of the creative and the kind of technical. You want to have something that's makes something that's really appealing to people that they figure, oh, I could, you know, I mean, I could just buy that at a convention, that's £30, or it would be probably about $35, I guess. Oh, that sounds interesting, you know, I want to play that. And for $35, yeah, I'm in. So that's the kind of motivation, I suppose, really, is to just try and widen our audience, get a new bunch of people playing the game, and, you know, bring on board some new fans. And the starter set seemed to a perfect opportunity to do that. It's something we've been talking about for a long, long time, actually. But we just, last year, we sort of finally made the decision to sort of press the button because, it's made out in China, as most of these things are nowadays. And it takes an enormously long time from concept to actually, getting the first production copies in your hands and then actually getting copies out there so people could buy them. I think I finished final amends and, you know, signing off the stuff way back in September 23. I got the first, and this is the very, very, very first production model of the starter set. That came to me in around about January, I think. And now here we are in March, and the copies are just flooding into our warehouse in the UK and the and the US for distribution out to the world. I mean, we had a slight kind of thing with the piracy in the lead up to the Suez Canal, that bit, which meant things had to be shipped around the Horn of Africa. So we've had a few delays and a few hitches along the way, but it's finally here now.
So when is this officially, like, when will this be available for purchase or for order in the UK and the US?
Okay, so yeah, you can actually pre-order the starter set now. It's I'd advise going to our newly launched destination page at actoncthulhu.com.
On the little link.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a breakdown of what's actually in it there, and there'll be sort of more lore and things added to that as it goes along. But yeah, it's on pre-order now. A very short pre-order time. It will start shipping worldwide from both US and UK stores on April the 16th.
Excellent. So okay.
Pre-order now, and it should ship to you on that date, if not slightly before.
Excellent. Okay. And so if I go down to a mile away to my local game store and I ask the dude, he should be able to pre-order it at this point?
He should absolutely be able to. Your friendly local game store should be being hit up by our sales guys already to start stocking this.
Very good. Yeah, you know, it's interesting, the whole starter box thing, you know, I mean, being a, I fall into that grognard category. I remember when the idea of a rule book by itself was novel.
Mm.
You know, like I remember for me early on, role-playing games always came in boxes.
That's right.
Came in a box. And it was so like, oh my gosh, like, whoa, this is so crazy. It's just a hardback book all by itself. Like, that was kind of novel to me. But I look at it now, and I mean, there's a bit of nostalgia flavor for me, which I like. But I really like, I have the Star Trek Adventures and the Fallout starter boxes. And I think that those are both excellently done in that you're right. It takes the most fundamental rules, and it presents them. Here's the core mechanic. Here are the most salient things you're going to do in these kinds of stories. And this is how to do them. And then here's an extended adventure. You know, both of them present something that's more than just a session or two, that enables you to walk through different aspects of the game, which I think is really important. Because especially, I mean, for either of those games, there's a lot of different angles you can come at it. And it's nice to learn the rules to a level of proficiency so that you can step back and go, oh, that's why they did it the way they did it. Oh, that's cool. I like that. And I think that, like, it's all fine and good, you know, the typical thing of here's your core rule book and there's like a 10 to 12 page adventure in the back of it. That can by necessity only show you just so many angles. The fact that, and we'll get to it, but the fact that the starter adventure in here, I'm really surprised, pleasantly so, as to how long it is. And I think that really gives you a nice tour of what the game world is and what the game system is and how those two things connect. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting point to pick up on as well. You know, I mean, I will say just very quickly that even if you're an existing fan of Actor and Cthulhu, you will still find plenty of good stuff in here for you to enjoy as well. And you might want to get it just for completeness sake. I'm terribly guilty of that as well. I will buy stuff I like, and you know, you rightly point to the Star Trek and Fallout starter sets, which were obviously an influence on this being from the same company and stuff. But I think that's right. You know, it's all about sometimes barriers to entry, isn't it? And you know, a 300 page core book is quite an intimidating thing to wade through, right? But if you're like, we've tried to be really, you know, just boil it down to the essentials, so that we've got down to a 16 page basic rule book in this, which you could probably read through in under an hour, like, and absorb all the stuff in it. And when it comes to the adventures as well, it's a specially written one, so that it, you know, it walks you through stuff you know, as a GM that you might struggle with. Not that the core, but you know, we made an effort in the core books to simplify the rules as well and make them very, you know, give lots of examples and stuff. But I think there is just something, you know, the GM is learning on the job as much as the players, and I think that's probably one of the interesting aspects of starter sets. It's a sort of shared learning experience together.
And I think that's important because you're right. Like a 1-inch thick hardback can be intimidating. A new GM looks at it and says, like, where do I start? Like, I picked up the Star Trek Adventure starter box long after I had several of the core books and long after I had run the thing, and I still learned and I picked up things. There were things that I clarified through that. So I'm hoping that this is going to present the same opportunity for Octane Cthulhu players. But then on top of that, I wouldn't call this an adventure. I would call this like, I don't know, like a mini campaign of sort. Like, yeah. You've got some, like I said, there's some distance in the story here. So we can segue to what's in the box. So you already said there is a starter rule book. There is an overview of the rules, basic rules. It's 20 pages, but in reality, it's actually only 13 pages of rules, because of the front matter and the back matter. So it is super condensed. And I looked over it and I think it does the trick. If you were coming to this game completely from the outside, even if you didn't know anything about 2D20, I think they deliver what needs to be delivered. What do you want to say about that? Like, how did you condense? I mean, obviously you're focusing the rules primarily on the story that's in the box, but you squeeze the game into 13 pages.
Yeah, there it is. There's the rules for you. Yeah, nice thin little volume there. Yeah, I think it's just like it's really concentrating on the essentials. So, you know, it helped that we had the quick start as a model, because that again, you've got to kind of ball stuff down to the essentials. And so it was more or less adapting the quick start rules and just, you know, one of the tasks I set the writer Ben Maunder, who's another guy who works for Modiphius across various lines, but has also contributed some great adventures to Acta and Cthulhu. One of the things I when we were chatting about it, is I said, like, you know, you've got to write this adventure, but you can only use the rules in this thing, right? Because we want it to be fast-paced, and we want people not to be sort of constantly going, oh, how does that work again? I better, you know, just to keep the pace up. It is tough, you know. I mean, there's lots of aspects of the system that you think, oh, should we include extended tests? Should we include consequence tracks and stuff like that? And it was always a tough decision. But I always sort of, if there was a choice, I always sort of went, go the simple way. Just go the simple way. And if people are intrigued and like the system, then they can find all the depth they want in the player's guide and the game's master's guide. But yeah, you know, it's we've even managed to squeeze a little bit of the magic system in there as well. So, you know, they always say, I remember a great axiom about a writer being asked to produce a 1,000-word story, and he says, oh, that will take me a day. And then they ask him to produce a 500-word story, and he says, "Oh, that'll take me 3 days," because you have to really strip away all the any kind of fat and just leave the real lean bare bones to make it so straightforward. And you know, that was really the aim, is to just be able to read through this thing in, you know, maybe half an hour, 40 minutes, and have a pretty good understanding of everything you'll need after that.
Yeah, it's interesting. Think you know, calling back to the quick start, a quick trip to France from a few years ago. Like, I look at those rules, and now I look at this condensed set of rules. It's like, if you were going to run this at a convention, this is what you use.
Yeah,
I mean, unless you're super familiar with the game, like this is the level of just concentrated. Let's make the game, let's deliver the game for its, like, again, its most salient features, and make it easy on players to connect And then if they're interested in learning more, they've got that avenue open already. But that's
Definitely. I was really so pleased with what we did with this that we've released these free now as part of a quick start pack. So if people do want to just have a quick look at the rules, then you can just download it from free from Modiphius.net or DriveThruRPG. And there's a couple of small adventures with those as well. But why would you do that when you can get this glorious physical starter set? I mean, we love digital, of course we do, but there's nothing.
Yeah, but there's something. Yeah, you
a tangible.
It doesn't feel the same on your iPad. It's better in person. So let's move. Do you want to talk about the other contents, or do you want to talk about the adventure? Because which one do you want to talk about first? Because
we can go on to the adventure. Why don't we have a little check out of?
Let's do that. So this is. First off, I love the special issue thing. This harkens back to, I was the weird kid who, I did not read superhero comic books. I read war comics and like creepy war comics, like Weird War and Creature Commandos. That was my, so when I look at this stuff, I'm like, yeah, I'm waiting for the haunted tank in GI Combat to roll up. looking through this 60-page adventure, I don't see, and maybe my eyes failed me, but I don't see any reused art. Is this all new?
Yeah, it's all new and absolutely original to the thing. I got to say a big shout out to Ariel Oria, who's our art director, who's once again produced the goods on this with
it looks terrific.
Great pictures to sort of interpret the action. I think he's done a. He continues to do a fantastic job on all our AC products and dig up some really interesting and flavorful artists who just seem to fit that kind of pulp feel that we're going for on the RPG. He's a real genius and some really talented guys in there as well. I mean, the cover, I think, was done by Carlos Cabrera, who's a long-standing AC artist who contributed to the core books, but there's some great internal art from the likes of Victor Maristain, Wayne Miller, Jens Lindfors, and Andrew Clark, who are the guys in there. But yeah, it's all new, all original. And you mentioned the special issue thing. We always have tried to replicate those classic pulp covers in every AC book we do, and I think this one's a giant Nazi drilling machine through the earth. You can't really get more pulpy than that.
So tell us a little bit about the adventure itself. I mean, I'm looking at the table of contents, and I mean, it is just short of 60 pages. There is a section of player handouts at the back, but what's the 30,000 foot view? What's the gist of this story?
So we begin right at the beginning of the war itself on the outskirts of Dunkirk. The agents are drawn together from a variety of different backgrounds. Some are military, some are kind of medical staffs, the usual ragtag band of adventurers that you'd expect to form up an AC agent group. And they've all been called to as part of the evacuation. They're all sort of involved in that in one way or another. We wanted to introduce most of the major factions of the Secret War here. So we will be looking, you will encounter the Black Sun, you will encounter Nachtwolf, you will encounter the Migo. Okay, I think the only ones we don't touch on are the Deep Ones, though there is a little hint of them in there somewhere if you're willing to look. And we wanted to kind of give the players obviously a taste of the setting and scenario and stuff, but also introduce them to the sort of big meta story of the Secret War, which is going on. So it seemed a logical place to start in 1939, beginning of the war. So, you know, characters or agents would be at the beginning of their careers. You could play this and then go straight on to play the Quick Start as the next sort of adventure in sequence and some of the early missions like Under the Gun and Operation Vanguard. And this being pulp adventure, if you really wanted to do a quick flashback in time, you could go and do the Shadows of Atlantis campaign. So it was kind of nice, it sort of seemed a good place on the timeline to situate it. And then beyond that, we wanted to give you some of the, I mean, there's combat and there's intrigue, there's weird science, there's strange alien tunnels, and there's, as the box and the front cover give away, you end up with a huge finale, a cataclysmic finale at the heart of a vast alien hive city, which is located somewhere in the vicinity of Dunkirk, shall we say. And we hope it gives you kind of like a rip-roaring whirlwind ride through all the elements that make Act of Cthulhu what it is. You know, the thrilling pulp adventure, punching the evil in the tentacles is our new tagline, and just give players a real taste of what Act of Cthulhu is all about, and hopefully whet their appetites for quite a lot more.
And I see that the adventure itself, it's three acts, but it is not the three acts, three scenes. There are 13 scenes, so it is longer. In your experience, if you've run this or as this was play tested, about how long, say a standard session is maybe 3 or 4 hours. Like,
yeah,
how long do you think it would take to run this?
I think so. Say maybe, you know, it's always difficult to say because it depends on, you know, how far
the players like go stray off the obvious plot. They never do that.
You spend all that time setting it all up and then they're really interested in a very minor NPC who's there to be impart some small information. I would say that you could probably, you know, minimum maybe two, maybe up to four if you really strung it out. If you're really involved in the role playing and you want to do everything and see everything, some groups like to rush through scene to scene, but others, of course, like to linger and explore every option. So,
right.
Yeah, two to three sessions, I'd say. Maybe three would be most typical.
Yeah, I think that you could. I mean, if you had players who were somewhat familiar with the system, just 2d20 in general, I think you could probably do it in three, like one act per session.
Yes. Yeah. And that's kind of presuming people will be stopping to learn the mechanics and sort of see how things work and everything. But yeah, experienced role players, they could zip through it.
I think that your decision to place it early in the war makes a lot of sense for a number of reasons. Like as you were talking about that, I'm thinking, you know, if I hadn't played this game with my group before and I wanted to introduce them to it and they were hip to the idea, then it enables us to, even if we use, you know, say we use the six characters that are included, if after that they want, oh, I'm going to go out and buy the books, the player's guide and the GM's guide, and then people are going to make their own characters, you just retcon it and say, well, your characters were the ones that are there. And then, I mean, obviously most of your stuff has been early war in general, like a lot of and a lot of the PDF adventure releases, but it makes sense because then it leaves a long ramp for campaign development within a group. Like you could have put this late in the war, but then there's not a lot of runway left. That makes sense.
Yeah. That was definitely part of the thinking. And because there is so much early war material, you could, you know, really get your teeth into other stuff too.
So then in addition to, we got the rules, we have the adventure, and then we have a set of maps. There are six maps. Now I'm looking at the PDF. These are, you know, fine Act of Cthulhu looking maps. If you are familiar at all with any of the maps in any of the PDFs or any of the books, this is good looking stuff. How are these presented physically? Like how big are they? What are they printed on?
With my head for scale, here's the first one. Oh, there we go.
Oh.
So they're pretty big.
Are they double-sided?
Like, yeah, they're double-sided. Each one is each one has a double side to it. So that's first one. I will just show you the second.
So you've got three separate double-sided four-panel pieces of paper.
That's right, yes. Yeah. So
very
that,
nice.
I believe is, that's another one.
You know, I'm in looking at these, like here, the Black Sun Camp, in looking at these, I'm already seeing reusability.
Yeah.
In them.
Yeah. We certainly hope so. And then finally, I'll show the final ones. So we've got the nice tunnels there. and the alien pyramid there, without wanting to give too many spoilers away.
Nope.
And just so we designed them that actually, alongside the token sets, which I will show you there, a couple of them will actually function as battle maps. So you can use the counters on those maps to, fight your first combat. And I thought that'd be a really good way of showing how the combat system works.
How zones work, especially.
Yeah, exactly. Which can be one of the trickier mechanics for people to grasp. So there's a kind of simple zone system and a more complex zone system, which are presented in the adventure book, and the GM can choose which one they want to do. The tunnels map, which is this one, is also a kind of mini game in itself, in that you'll be piloting one of those great big drilling machines around that set of tunnels, exploring, and there will be various encounters along the way. There is a goal, but it's hidden on that map. Only the GM can see it. And you will be sort of piloting the vehicle around and encountering various strange behaviors and in strange things that are lurking in alien tunnels, which I think, you know, I think with a physical thing, it's nice to have something really tactile, yeah, something sure. People see and get excited about. And so we kind of, when it came to designing that, I thought it was too good an opportunity to miss. I should give a quick shout out to Glyn from Monkey Blood Design, Glyn Seal, who designed all those maps and does most of our, pretty much all of our main campaign books, who has produced the goods once again. He's an Emmy award-winning map maker, and I think it really shows he's produced some excellent stuff for us.
Yeah, they're good in and of themselves, and this is me addressing the maps throughout the line, but I love that they convey a consistent feel.
Yeah.
You know, they serve a purpose of, I think visuals can do a really good job of inviting people to set aside the fact that this is all made up.
Yeah.
You know, and that consistency, I think, does that. The counters, it's interesting looking at the counter. So you have two sheets, but they're double-sided.
Yeah,
I noticed in there, you have headshots of pre-generated characters from a quick trip to France.
Yes, that's right. Well, we thought this was a really good opportunity. Not only will they work really well with, the maps there, but we thought we'd give players, this is one of those features that existing players might like. So we've got, we've got the hero sheets here with the actual pre-gens from this adventure. We've also got some soldiers. We've got some of the archetypes from the player's book there, some resistance operatives, and even like famous heroes from the line. So Mad Jack, we've got Arion Dubois.
You got Deadman.
Deadman, Sergeant Carter, Aki the Eye Singh. And then down the bottom we have threat and momentum tokens, which are Elder Sign things. Sheet two, your more standard German opposition up the top. So German infantrymen and officers, Black Sun troopers, plenty of those, a few masters, a cannon or two. And then right in the corner there, I don't know if you can see him, Dread Cthulhu himself. I don't know. Hopefully they won't be
in camera. Just in case.
Well, it's
just in case your players really get on your nerves and you just want to end here. He shows up.
Yeah, exactly. Done. But also, one as you've got the digital release, we thought this would be quite a good thing for virtual tabletops as well. So you can take those maps and you can take those tokens and counters and just import them to whatever your favorite VTT system is. It's a bit hard with VTTs. I'm a bit of an old school pen and paper man, but I know that's really important to some people. So you can take those and just import them into your favorite VTT, and they'll be, you know, whenever you need a Black Sun trooper, there it is. If you want to feature Alec Towton as part of a briefing session, there's a counter there for him, Peggy, any of the heroes. So we hope the tokens and maps will get used beyond the start set for existing players too.
Yeah, I think that they would. I mean, and I'm the when I first looked through the maps, I immediately thought what I had said before. Oh, hey, there's a lot of reusability in this. The tokens are actually a whole level beyond that in terms of utility, just general gaming utility. Now, you talked about the pre-generated characters. There are 6 pre-generated characters. They each get 2 pages. And I love the fact that they are 6 entirely new, different, and interesting characters. Why don't you talk a little bit about those and what drove you or what motivated you to create? This is a different group. I like that.
Yeah, that's right. Again, it's. I always think it's a good idea to have a new set of heroes and possibly villains, but definitely heroes for each encounter. So quick trip to France, we had a few classic heroes in there. Shadows of Atlantis, plenty of pre-gens there too. So again, just more characters, more diversity, more interesting combinations. And you know, it's true, you could probably swap out any of the characters from Shadows, Quick Trip to France, and now the starter set. But we've got we thought we'd have a few new ones for the adventure. So we've got Alex Hellgate Kelly, a classic kind of Irish adventurer, but a bit of a spellcaster too. He's got a very you should probably just see the lucky black cat down the bottom there. Mike Tiedemann, who's a refugee German who's escaped from the Nazi regime to pursue a career in Section M. Clarissa Tucker, a boffin and scientist, from a rather privileged background, who's here to kind of further her studies in the war, one would say. Lula Brett, who's a local French local with a sort of engineering and vehicles background. Jordan Ash, who's a veteran of the First World War, an all-round badass kind of soldier and sniper. And then we have Kalish Cannon, who is an infiltrator and with an Indian background, who is a kind of interesting rogue-like, I would say, from other systems, who you probably won't want to leave your valuables around. She'd probably have them away in a minute, but also very athletic and able to burglarize and steal things with abandon. And all the sheets have got sort of all the equipment that the characters have got, and also spaces for notes and equipment they pick up, etc., etc. So, yeah, just a new set of interesting and hopefully useful characters to power your adventures. There's 6 of them in there, but you could probably run it with 3 or 4, I would say. Maybe might need a bit of help from a thingy, but yeah, 4 to 6.
Yeah, but it's nice to have the extras. It's nice to be able to put out on the, like, whenever I run this game at cons, if I open the table to 5 people, I have 6 or 7 characters.
Yeah,
it's just for the sake of giving people choices, and I
yeah, and you could nice. You could run one as a GM as well, couldn't you? If you need be, so yeah, all good really.
And then finally, in the box, there's a double-sided rules reference sheet.
That's right.
Very useful.
Yeah. Just a very handy thing for there's 6 of these, 1 for each player. So useful just in case you forget all the rules. But you're not strictly accurate there, because.
Wait a minute, what'd I miss?
Well, you don't get this in the digital release, but there's also an exclusive dice set.
Very nice. I was going to ask about that actually, because I know that those have been in the other 2 boxes.
Yeah. So I don't know if you can really see them here. I'll hold them right up. They're Elder Sign. They're a sort of limited edition, just exclusive to the starter set at the moment. Translucent green. When you hold them up to the light, they've got a very nice colour on them, and they've got Elder Sign as the critical one. I don't know if we can see one there.
Yep, they came through. So those are so if you're obviously there's plenty of stuff if you're just listening to this that unfortunately you're not seeing. But yeah, I'll put links to as much as I can find off Modiphius' site of the contents. But yeah, so it's 4 sixes and 2 20s. So it's the standard of what we've
seen. So really the basic stuff you need. And then just finally, we've also got the box itself, which acts.
Wait, what?
Ah, yes. See, this is the joy of physical.
Oh, my goodness. So if you're listening, the inside of the box top and box bottom has tables printed in it so that if you set it up like an L, you put the box top under and up at a perpendicular to the bottom. These are GM reference sheets, correct?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And also dice rolling tray down there. So
in a weird way, that's kind of pulpy-esque. It's like the umbrella sword or something like that. You have a gadget.
Multifunctional.
Box itself.
It's like Section M's boffins spent quite a while cooking that one
building
up.
Building this box for us.
Yeah, very absolutely. Cool.
Well, I'm excited. I'm gonna talk to the guy at my local game store and see about him ordering a copy for me because it's obviously a moral imperative that I must have it. So what about the line as a whole? I mean, we've had, you know, here it is 2.5 years that it's been out. You've got a number of sizable campaign books, a lot of PDF adventures. What can you talk about that's in addition to this box, which will be out in a month? What else for 2024 can we expect for Octone Cthulhu?
Well, we've already had Unexplored out, actually, which is not too far. That was out last month, I believe.
Right.
Which was a sort of mission and terrain adventure generator. Just a quick overview of that. We sort of always wondered, you know, those red line bits in Indiana Jones when the camera roves and the red line goes from adventure to adventure. We always sort of thought, I wonder what might happen. Is there anything interesting that might have happened on the way? And so that's a GM tool. There's 6 major biomes inside, ranging from plains to desert to jungle to forest. Each has got 4 kind of locations or major sort of mission maps within them. You just use them to simulate what happens as you go from A to B through a jungle biome. On the first day, you know, it might be swampy and full of water. On the next day, it might give way to sort of wider tree land, or you might encounter a strange beast there or enemy forces. A lucky break, a mythos encounter, all kinds of things can happen. So it was just a sort of an attempt to fill in those little spaces in between the thing. And that's been going great guns. We've had some really nice reaction to that. People seem to find it useful. And, if you just wanted, you had nothing prepared and wanted to create a quick adventure on the fly, Unexplored's quite an interesting way of doing it. And, you know, the location, the 4 locations at the end of each biome, that could be a sort of diversion along the way or the sort of the culmination of the journey. So just something to give GMs a bit more options-wise.
I like that. I like that. I don't have it. I'm going to have to try. Now, question, was that paperback?
Yeah, it's a soft cover, 150 pages, full color, okay. Soft cover. I'll just show you very quickly we've got some of the lovely maps by Glynn in there with encounters and adventure scenes so they can be used and reused. And rules for travel, quite simple, reasonably simple rules for travel. And again, some nice art and things to go along. So,
yeah, I like that. Travel's a tough one. Like journeys and treks, they can either be really tedious or dissatisfying because they just get hand waved to the point where you don't feel like anything was there. You just feel like there was a commercial cut, comes back, and it's 2 days later and you're somewhere else. But that iconic line of Indy's plane and the little Nazi looking over the newspaper at him periodically, that filling in those spaces, I like that as a resource. So what else is coming down the road? I know the answer to this, but I don't know how many other people know the answer. So I'm asking you.
Marvelous. Well, we were originally thinking about doing this last year, but we thought we'd decide to do it to coincide with the 80th anniversary of D-Day this year. June the 6th, we'll be doing D-Day, the Darkest Day campaign book. This is another major 200-page plus hardback. It's a combined guide and campaign. A little more campaign than guide on this one, I'd say. The guide is vehicles, equipment, tools, and even creatures that that might appear around. I'll come on to the creatures bit in a minute, but you know, so you've got classic things like the Airspeed Horser glider, Hobart's Funnies tanks, some of the German armored cars, all the iconic vehicles of and weapons of D-Day, from simple things like the clicker, the paratrooper ID device or gadget. But of course, this being Act of Cthulhu, there's a few secret weapons of the secret war thrown in there as well. I won't give away too much, but there's things like the Pendant of St. Barbara, patron saint of the US artillery, invented by your own good self, if I remember correctly, and a few things like harpoon guns for underwater combat, power armor suits for underwater combat with Nachtwolf. The main campaign itself is divided up into three parts. So you've got pre-invasion, which is the first bit, which is about three different missions. One, to mislead the Germans into thinking that the invasion is going to come by the Pas-de-Calais. That takes place in France by Merrick Moore. The second one is a little neat little home front mission, which takes place on at Clemens Park in Section M headquarters, and we've got to unmask a traitor. And the third one is a little excursion to the Channel Islands, where Black Sun are planning to swamp the invasion fleet with a giant tidal wave, and you've got to follow that. The middle arc is called Down with the Deep Ones, and it's a bit more narratively linked, this one, due to events earlier in the war, or even in the first part, actually, which is sort of linked into it. The Deep Ones are on the warpath and threatened the Allied invasion fleet and are telling them that they can't go through what the Deep Ones consider their own territory. So a brave band of agents have to transform themselves into Deep One hybrids and go down to the depths of Tepditha, which is the Deep One city, and convince them through a series of trials and missions that the Allies are actually okay, and that the Deep One should let the invasion fleet through. So that's quite an interesting arc, as your agents are transformed into Deep Ones and sent into the depths. And then finally, we've got The Darkest Day, which is the third part, and that's six different missions, which can be played sequentially or can be run individually. And these are steadily increasing in difficulty and challenge, all the way up to a climactic finale. The first five are sort of focused on the sort of wonder weapons that Nachtwolf might deploy under the tutelage of Professor Kraft Heinberg, who's their head of technological division. And so there's things like V2 rocket, bigger V2 rockets, a gigantic artillery gun. There's a new class of submarine that may be used against the Allied invasion fleet. But Black Sun 2 have also not been remiss, and they are planning to unleash a hellish horde upon the invasion fleet or the Allied landings. And that's the final mission and climactic mission, which sees you take on a Black Sun prior in the sort of the finale of the book. So that's a quick overview. Hope that's sort of given you a few ideas. But of course, you know a little bit about this because you've done a little bit of writing for it yourself. Well, more than a little bit of writing for it yourself.
I like the fact that this book, in looking at it now, I mean, this book can be played in bits and pieces. Like I even thought of it like, wow, you could conceivably, I mean, if you had players who wanted to do this, like you could play through the three phases with three different sets of characters. If you wanted to explore the world and this moment, Overlord, from different perspectives. I don't know if I want to play a Boffin or do I want to play this, but well, why don't we do this? Why don't we play the first phase with different characters and then move to the, you know, you could, there's a lot of modularity and in that a lot of options, I think.
I think maybe it was even in conversation with you that we were chatting about it, following Serpent in the Sands. And, you know, I love a big epic campaign, but it can be, you know, it's a big commitment, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. Group.
And so, you know, a big 12 episode arc, you know, could take you maybe a year to play. I don't know, depending again on your group and preferences. But I think it was a great idea to kind of split these up into, as you say, a kind of more modular approach where, yeah, absolutely, you could play this start to finish, same characters, and it would be a gigantic and epic campaign based around D-Day. But you could also dip in and out of, and maybe do one mission from the first part. The deep ones arc, I think, is played, you probably would have to play continuously. But again, maybe you could do it with, you know, a different set of characters. And then the final one, I mean, if you did all six missions you, with the same characters, I think your group would be very depleted by the end. But again, you could dip in and out. You don't have to do all six. You could do three, or, you know, swap characters might be an interesting way of approaching it too.
Yeah, chances are with my group, we would do each of the three. We wouldn't do the whole thing as an unbroken arc. We would grab either some or all from one of the phases, because my group tends to, it's not that we get tired. There's just so many good games to play. So we'll play something for a couple months and we say, okay, we got to change. And then all of a sudden, like a year and a half goes by and you're like, oh, crumb, I want to go back to that. So I like the fact that this campaign, you know, using the word campaign loosely, is there are more doors in and out of it for a GM and players. I think that, and I like that as a balance compared to the other ones, which are more by default like singular long campaigns. It just provides more options.
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, I mean, I think it definitely is always going to be room for epic long campaigns. But
oh sure,
but yeah, just break up with a little bit of variety here and there. Just it just adds a bit of interest, doesn't it? A bit of flavor, I think.
So when does this D-Day book drop? When will it be available for pre-order for people?
Well, I think it'll probably be available for pre-order in May. And we're hoping, if all goes well, to release actually on or around June the 6th itself.
That would be appropriate.
Yeah, yeah. And absolutely. And I should say, we want it to be very mindful, obviously, with the 80th anniversary coming up and everything. We wanted to be mindful about the actual real heroes of D-Day. And a lot, as always, you know, we do a lot of research historically, and we had them very much in mind when we were making this book. You know, Acton Cthulhu is a pulp, thrilling world of pulp adventure, but these guys were the absolute real heroes who went in to fight a war of liberation against, you know, one of the most evil regimes we've ever seen. And so, you know, we were really mindful that we didn't want to have agents charging in on the beaches with them. We wanted to tell the story sort of around, like most things in Acton Cthulhu, it's around the great big set piece battles, their secret war, the hidden war that where we sit. And also we'll be donating a percentage of the sales to veterans charities as well, just to sort of, as our little tribute to, small tribute to the heroism those people displayed in that amazing, incredible liberation.
Yeah, I saw that, and I think that I got a lot of respect for that. That's really decent of you folks. And AC is an interesting game in that, yeah, it is pulp. It's kind of gonzo, over the top pulp adventure, yeah. And yet at the same time, because it is based around, you know, riffs off of these real events, it can give players and it can give us all just a moment to pause to go, wow, that was a thing that we should be thankful for, to take a moment and appreciate the real history. And I like how, I think you guys have done that in an elegant but a dignified way. I appreciate that for sure.
Thanks. So yeah, I'd hope we could show it to veterans and they would think, well, you know, that's a good thing you're doing. Because I think we do have a kind of a debt to history, and if it inspires people to go up, go and look at the absolutely amazing real stories that happened on D-Day and around it, then that can only be a good thing, I think.
So again, thank you so much for giving us your time and these details. And if you are only listening to this episode, make sure to go to the link to the YouTube's in the notes. Go look at the YouTube because you'll see all the visuals. You'll see what this thing looks like. So we'll keep an eye on the release schedule. Obviously, I'll post links. Anyway, so John, again, thank you so much for coming on and sharing these details. And we will keep an eye on Octo and Cthulhu as a line. And hopefully this starter box, I'm sure, will draw more people into the secret war.
Marvelous. It's always a pleasure as always.
Thank you. Thank you, as always, for listening to Fluff and Crunch. You can join our Discord, you can subscribe to the podcast, you can subscribe to the YouTube channel, all through the links in the show notes. Thanks again. Have a great day. We look forward to talking with you.